Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Today's video is brought to you by Predictable Revenue's service, LinkedIn Outbound. Find out how we can leverage and grow your existing LinkedIn network to book meetings into your calendar at the link below.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast. I'm your host. My name is Sarah Hicks, and my guest today is Renee Zamora. We're going to be talking about how to manage a sales team virtually. Welcome, Renee.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Glad to have you.
Raise myself up here.
Okay, perfect. Renee was ahead of his time. He's been leading and managing small business sales teams virtually since he founded Sales Manager Now in 2006. After 27 years of sales and sales management experience culminated in a small business training / consulting practice, Renee responded to his calling and now shares his talent with 5 to 7 companies simultaneously. Mm-hmm. Over the course of leading 2,500 sales meetings and managing 20 to 30 salespeople per month, he has perfected the art of virtual sales management, which is something that we desperately need right now. His clients have a high-performance sales leader on their team for less than half the cost of an average full-time sales manager. Renee's passion to help others led him to author the book Part-Time Sales Management for Small Business Sales Teams, but more on that later. As a sales manager, if you don't have a clear strategy for managing your team virtually, you're going to be pulled in 10 different directions with one-on-one, Slacks, emails from your team, pressure from senior management, and you'll be floundering. So in this podcast, Renee is going to help us go over what you're gaining when you move to a virtual sales management model, how sales teams respond to virtual management and how to keep them engaged, and 3, the roadblocks many sales managers leading virtually for the first time are going to be facing, and how to navigate them. Really looking forward to this, Renee.
I'm stoked. Where is this guy? I mean, that sounds exciting.
He sounds so cool. I can't wait to hear from him. So Renee, your core business is managing sales teams virtually, and you've been doing this for 14 years. So correct. Before we get into how you've done it so successfully for so long, tell me why you got into virtual sales management in the first place.
Well, I was in a sales management career for our sales and sales manager career for many years. And then, through mergers and acquisitions, I was cut out of it. And I was in a small community. I didn't know what I was going to do. So I started doing some training. And I did some high-performance leadership training for 5 years, but it really wasn't what I really loved doing. I loved teaching, but I like being part of a team more and helping, watching a development over time that's lasting. Mm-hmm. And so basically through a rough year, kind of soul-searching, prayer, looking for an answer, I found some direction, and someone just out of the blue that I never met said, "You should be a sales manager for small businesses." And at that point in my life, it was like, it sounded like everyone was telling me that, but one person, and I just said, "I'm going to do it." I told a good friend of mine I was going to do that. He said, "I got your first client." You know, he had been working with someone and he just said, "This is a perfect fit for them." And they ended up being my first client. And so I kind of, to answer your question is, you know, how did I get into it or why am I doing it? You said earlier, my calling, I feel like I was called into this. And to me, I confirmed that or affirmed it when I realized that when I was doing training, I felt like I was working at it. I was preparing, I was practicing, I was using other people's material to try to deliver some education and empowerment. And when I started doing this business from the first week, it was just like, I'm just breathing. It's like, this is what I'm supposed to do. So I don't know. That's how it's been. All the clients have come to me over all the years. We're trying to ramp it up a little more for other consultants, but that's what's happened.
That's great.
Yeah.
And now, of course, at the moment, people are having to manage sales teams virtually, or they're having to hire virtual sales managers. But sure. Before the current circumstances, why were business owners turning to a virtual sales manager rather than hiring somebody in-house?
Most of the clients that come to us have been in business for a number of years, definitely over 10 years or 20 years. And I've kind of analyzed this, what drew them here. Cause I don't really dig into it when they call, we just start solving something. Mm-hmm. But I think that they've been in business long enough where they've tried things, you know, they've worked on, they've hired the sales manager, internal, external, whatever. They've tried to do it on their own And but they also realize they have a strong enough business that can grow. So the confidence that it can grow is there, but they're just looking for a different approach. Mm-hmm. And you know, so they reach out and they find us, and then the cost factor, you know, is very attractive because, like you mentioned, it's less than half of what they'd usually pay a full-time sales manager. So they give it a go. And that's kind of they see their business can grow. They're kind of hitting a ceiling and they're open to new ways, because you have to be open to some sales manager who's not even in your office and it's not working full time. And mm-hmm. you're going to trust that he's going to do better than everything else you tried. So
for sure.
They're trusting.
Okay. Got it. So then let's get into it. Let's get into how a sales manager can effectively manage virtually. How does what you do, or how does what a virtual sales manager do, how does that differ from a sales manager in-house?
Sure. A lot of similarities and some differences. So what the virtual approach forced me to be very disciplined in improving my sales management habits. So if you're a full-time sales manager listening to this, you know, all these things apply, mm-hmm. you know, if you're face-to-face or virtual. But bottom line, the number one premise that I learned before I actually started the business was from an article called McGregor. And it was about this manager who was, some gentleman was going to interview him about his management approach. And he got to his office and he's just like with his feet up. He doesn't have any appointments. He's just sitting there, and he gets this interview, and the interview starts asking him, like, why are you so free? You know, why are you so available? And he said, because I never make decisions that I hire other people to make. And that one just like hit me. It's just like, so every time we hire someone, there's decisions. In the sales, it's decisions on who to call, when to call, what to say, when to say it, you know, how to navigate through all those things. So when you're present in full time with your sales team, it's easy to fall back on your experiences of being a salesperson and showing them the way, closing for them, doing all these things that don't empower the person. They actually enable the person to be less effective. And so virtually, I don't get that opportunity. They have to do the job. They have to do their decisions. And for me to be able to get the feedback I need to be able to coach them, I have to have a high level of trust, because it's very easy for them. If they didn't want to tell me what's going on, I'm not face to face all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I can't see them. So taking the time to develop that trust in me, that they can tell me anything. They can tell me when it's great. They can tell me when it's terrible. And I'm not going to jump down their throat, but I'm going to hold them accountable. And so building trust and allowing people to do what we hired them to do are two main things that any manager can do better at. The tough part in corporate world is someone's like watching to see what you're doing all the time. So putting your feet up on your desk isn't too popular.
Yeah. So
they're going to give you other work to do. In my case, it's my own business. So as long as the results are there, the clients are happy.
There you go. And I think that's a great segue, kind of building this kind of trust, as you mentioned, that you need to have with your teams. How do you get oriented with a team and with senior leadership without being there physically?
Well, I do usually go there physically to start with. So Okay. Just to kind of create that bond and see everyone face to face, see the building, just understand the other departments. And because part of helping sales grow at any company is also improving communication between inner departments as well as within the sales team. There's many roadblocks or challenges or ways that we get in the way of sales improvement or growth that are just sitting right there in our office that we just haven't dealt with. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, so I go see them, but in general, it's just being who we are. I only hire sales managers who have a high integrity, who are transparent, who aren't hiding. We don't need to prove anything. This is what you get. And people know when they're talking to someone who is real and authentic and mm-hmm. who's not. And so trust level goes up really high. And then, like I said, I always make it a good point to never, correct people in a team setting, you know, do that individually. Always talk team in a team setting, just a couple things like that, that people get it. And the other big trust builder is solving problems for people. So if we solve issues for sales teams, they start trusting us when we say, okay, just give us time, but we'll get it. And they see us knocking these things, issues off the plate, and they trust us more.
Interesting. If you're a sales leader or sales manager that's listening right now, I think those are great things to jot down. So what are the trust builders? Because we're missing that face-to-face, we're missing the, I'm going to tap you on the shoulder thing. So what are the key kind of trust builders that exist in a kind of virtual format? And again, Renee, you mentioned it was problem solving. So showing them that you've got their back and solving their problems is absolutely going to help. And then the other one you mentioned is kind of critiques, doing those off the group calls, kind of making sure that the feedback is sort of positive in a group setting, and then any kind of critiques or coaching moments happen off a group call. I think that's an interesting one. I think that's a good one.
You know, and you said the team calls are positive ones, and for the most part they are, but it's okay to critique the team.
Right.
And say, guys, we are 30% behind. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do?
Makes sense.
You know,
don't single someone out, but absolutely you can coach.
See
the
who
team
steps up, and then they start, the better players start saying, okay, I'll make 2 more appointments this week, and da 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 da, and energy picks up.
And again, that feeds back into, like you're saying, putting the responsibility, the onus, and the trust on them to kind of step up.
Absolutely. Yeah. Awesome. It's a big piece there. I just want to add one extra piece there, is that I could have said, okay, everyone in here needs to schedule 2 more appointments this week. And you picked up on it that I said, what are we going to do, and allow them to solve the problem? Because it's really their problem to solve. I'm just there to help them remind them about that.
Right. So I think another great segue here, this is perfect. We're just following the kind of lie to the conversation that I want to have. Awesome.
Yeah.
So in your experience for sales teams that have maybe gone from in-person management to virtual management, how do you find that they respond to that change?
It really varies because some teams have, it's not just the virtual, the manager is not just virtual, but the teams have left their offices and are in their homes also. And I think the challenge there is more, some teams there's a greater challenge, and other teams there's not. Because some teams are in the office a little bit more, especially your inside teams. And so they're used to just walking down the hall or kibitzing with each other, having a little fun, or sharing a little moment for 2 minutes about what happened at the house last night. Mm-hmm. And they miss those opportunities. And I'm not insensitive to the reality is that that is part of the whole formula of what has made this team successful. And once we change it, some people can roll with it easier. Others got 3 or 4 kids in the house and it's stressful with the noise behind them. What has changed in my world? So I've been the virtual manager. I've had to be more sensitive and more understanding of the environment change of each salesperson. So as a sales leader managing virtually, if your sales team, cheese has been moved, so to speak, or room has been changed, then you need to be sensitive to that. Again, they still need to get the job done.
Yeah.
But a little more patience during transition, especially if it's going to come back to, back to the office. But you still got to get the results done, but more empathy. And because it can stress you out as well, because all of a sudden you're hearing kids in the background. And if that's not your thing, your demeanor and trust building, your face doesn't look like it's building trust anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
That's another thing I'd love if you're a sales leader out there watching, or even a sales rep, take a second to think about what the changes are that you're experiencing at home, and kind of how that impacts your work that you're doing. Maybe it doesn't impact your numbers. You're still going to get the work done, but it absolutely impacts the kind of environment and maybe how you go about getting things done. And maybe is there a way that you can communicate that with your sales leader? And from the sales leader side, can you kind of take a second to think about all the different ways that your sales reps' lives have changed right now, and be empathetic about those, and kind of think about ways that you might be able to navigate that? Because you're right, Renee, these are some of the kind of biggest changes right now. It's not just the working virtually, because it's not like we're just in a perfect little office that's now all of a sudden in our home, but it's all of the home things that go along with it.
Right. And there's one of the, for some leaders, my experience is also a negative belief starts coming in. When you can't physically see your people, you have to trust that they did get the job done. You have to let the numbers speak for themselves, their attitude and everything speak for themselves. But it's very easy that if you're used to seeing visual indicators, you're walking by someone's office and you see them pounding away seriously on their computer, right? Oh, all right, they're working, you know, or they're on the phone. Great. You know, of course you don't know what they're doing, but it tells your mind that something's happening. And so that's good. And you just go along your day. When you can't see those indicators anymore, you didn't realize it, but subconsciously it's not getting fulfilled. And so I've seen
not getting the like affirmation that your team is
doing. That's it, the affirmation. You're not getting affirmed. And so I've seen some leaders start having negative beliefs again about their salespeople. It's like, I don't know if they're working or, and then that little attitude starts creeping in. So to go along with the change and then let your attitude get down or disbelief, you're working against yourself at that point. You either believe in your people or you don't. And if you don't, figure out what it is that you don't believe about, bring it up, deal with it, or deal with the salesperson or deal with in your head, but don't let it linger.
Yeah. So I'm a sales rep, and I'm a sales rep who went from working in an office with my sales manager, literally three computers away from me, and now virtually. And the biggest thing that I am afraid to lose virtually, or the thing that I miss at the moment, is that ability to tap my manager on the shoulder and ask a question. Something comes up, I don't know how to handle an objection, for instance. And I say, Julian, how would you have done this? Or like, I don't know how to craft this email. Julian, how would you have done that? And there was a certain security that I felt in knowing that Julian, my sales manager, was there to kind of support me if I needed help with anything at any point in the day. So right. How do you get around that when you're managing virtually?
Well, I think all my teams just know that from the get-go, that I'm not going to be that person. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm not a product expert. So people don't come and ask us about products. So there has to be other sources. So what happens is that people start they get stronger because like you have to deal with your objections. Like, you can do it, you know, you're good enough, right? You're doing this podcast. Of course you're good enough to do this. And so, but as far as there's are times where you need that guidance and advice. And so what works is, first off, the phone, email, chat, make all your tools work. So if you want quick chat of those answers, you know, make that work. Get an agreement with which tools are going to be live and people are going to be watching regularly. And so make sure your technology agreement is set up. And it's really important agreement. Don't just use the chat and no one else does, you know, or the email response. The other thing I was going to say on that was, as a sales rep, you'll do yourself a good service by if questions that you have that you do not need answers to right now, put them on one email. Send your manager 2, 3, 4 questions rather than 4 emails. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to respond. Your better managers are going to respond to you and they're going to enjoy that. And you guys will have better strategic conversations. And you'll also find out that your questions are, maybe they didn't solve that one problem. And maybe you lost that conversation or that deal. But if you solve the core issue rather than just a quick answer to something, mm-hmm. you're going to be stronger and you're going to win much more. So both manager and sales rep need to understand that.
That makes sense. And I feel again that sort of feeds into the trust that the rep has in the sales manager, that the questions will be answered via that email. You don't need to ask the manager the second, they will answer you.
Yes,
and that's probably another thing that the sales manager needs to kind of show their reps, or kind of another thing to instill that trust in them, is to make sure that those questions do get answered regardless of kind of when they're asked.
Absolutely. It's called a conversation. It's in the book. One of the elements of our system is conversations are very important. And it's an exchange of ideas, and you can't stop exchanging. If one's coming, you got to go back. And so answer those questions. Yep.
Another thing that I, as a sales rep, feel that I'm missing, or I'm afraid again to miss, is the ability to kind of learn from my peers. So when I would be sitting on that sales floor, I could literally just overhear what another sales rep's call was. I could hear the way they handled an objection. I could hear the way an account executive handled an objection and you know, add that to my litany of things that I'd use. But I also could hear any critiques or guidance that the sales manager had for my peers. How when you are managing totally virtually, do you build out that ability for sales reps to learn from one another?
It's always part of our sales meeting. So every meeting starts with this question: What's going right? And the purpose, there's probably a couple of purposes there. One is just to get everyone involved in the meeting. So we go around the horn. We don't go too long. Sometimes we do if it's interesting and we're learning a lot. But it's, you know, usually quick around the table, so everyone's engaged. And then some people say, like, you can't just talk about what's right all the time, you know, positive thinking. I said, like, don't worry. We're always dealing with issues. Those are easy to find. It's hard to find what's right. Okay. So we'll deal with issues all the time and we'll fix them. But let's start out with what's going right. So we can learn about what you just said. Oh, wow. What they just said, they turned a customer around that was had this objection that I was having concerns with, mm-hmm. and you just learned right there. So every meeting is team learning, and I will stop the meeting from its agenda if someone brings up in a different part of the meeting, like, oh, whoa, oh, tell us more. Don't just tell me, like, the meeting went great. It's like, what was great about it? Mm-hmm. And so as a sales leader, you know, as a virtual leader, I would say become a better facilitator instead of a director or a teacher, mm-hmm. and build that culture where your team knows this meeting is about team learning always, and it's a priority. That's how we get better every week. You actually end up doing less. You just kind of start the conversation in the team. Who actually has the most relevant current experience to learn from each other? They have the best information.
Yeah, that totally makes sense to me. And Renee, you've held 2,500 of these sales meetings with these virtual teams.
That's a lot. I'm tired already.
Yeah. I'm tired just saying the number. I can't imagine. So let's dig more into kind of how you have these meetings. How, say you've got a team of maybe like 5 sales reps and you're doing the thing, as you say, you're going around the horn and people are talking about what's gone right and what's gone wrong. How do you keep all of these people engaged on a team call?
Again, I'd say it's facilitation. Okay. So it's, you need to be watching. You want everyone on webcam, you know, most everyone does, but sometimes people aren't. So you want to, if there's a technology issue, get that fixed. I mean, these are all the little details that need to be taken care of. They're like they're issues. It's extra stuff you have to do. Mm-hmm. And so in training people and teaching people how to mute and unmute, and some people get it and some people don't, and learning that the space bar on Zoom could hold it down like a walkie talkie. That was like, whoa, now I don't have to go find the button anymore. So just things like that. So technology is important. You as a leader, your role is to facilitate learning, facilitate commitment, facilitate that team in making decisions or going somewhere. Sometimes you are teaching, of course, and you interject as appropriate, but you're not a motivator either. Now, if you're a positive energy person and a leader that, you know, most sales leaders do have some of that energy, I mean, it's just going to come across. You don't have to be a motivator, and I wouldn't lean on it. If it's natural, it's natural. But in general, your salespeople, that's, again, a decision they have to make. They have to decide every day that they are to be motivated, and it's up to them. And if anyone's coming to you to be motivated, deal with it. It might be the wrong person. Okay. And so understanding your role as a facilitator and practicing it, which is talk less, ask more.
Okay, so that's how you kind of set up a great team meeting. What about a one-on-one? How do you manage those? Do they intersect with the team meetings?
All right, every salesperson has an individual sales plan. For me, it kind of has a little bit of a vision built into it, an intent statement. But the real core that we talk about all the time is you can call them KPIs, I call them objectives, whatever, our measurement, our activities and results, and then our strategies, you know, the things that they should be doing in general to hit the metrics. Mm-hmm. And then there's action plans, any projects you have. So we have a plan at the beginning of every year, and it has 12 months on it, and we watch progress. So that is the crux of our one-on-ones. Yes, the pipeline is part of this, but the plan is where we work down and see how are we doing on these measurements. So they're checking them all off. They come to the meeting prepared. Most of them. I trained them to be prepared. So the plan will be updated. The numbers will be in place. As sales leaders, we need to make sure the reports are pushing, helping them find the information for their plan. Don't make them do a bunch of work to search things because no one will fill the plan out. So that's our role, make it simpler. And then all our conversations are geared around that. Are they making progress? Are they not? Does the forecast need to change better or worse? And all the coaching gets geared around those numbers. So it's not an arbitrary, it's not just what feels good this week. It's specifics about a plan we're working toward.
Right. So very structured.
Yeah.
And what about the ideal frequency for these team meetings and then the one-on-one?
I think it varies. I mean, I use monthly just the way I do it. So the team meetings are weekly, mm-hmm. and I use one-on-ones on a monthly basis. I've had some clients that have other departments do one-on-ones on a weekly basis. But again, I just, I don't know. Employees are very capable. We're all very capable people, adults. And if we allow them to be capable and we expect that of them, let them prove otherwise instead of over monitoring.
Mm-hmm. All right. Makes sense to me. And what about in kind of a sales leadership role traditionally in-house, one of the things that those sales leaders will do to kind of train reps is ride-alongs on the sales calls. Yeah. So how can you effectively coach sales calls and give your reps great feedback about their calls if you're not doing ride-alongs?
Right. Well, the trust factor again has to be high. Okay. So I have to be able to say, when they brought that up, what did you say? And I have to go really hard and say, so tell me, be as honest as you can, try to replay it. You know, again, that's that whole trust factor because they can cover their behind right there and just say like, oh yeah, I told them this.
Yeah.
And then there's nothing to be gained. So they have to trust that I have their best interests at heart. And if they try to examine that, so but it's not as good as a ride along. I'm sorry, you can't get away from live visual input to give great feedback. So I'm not encouraging that people shouldn't do ride alongs anymore, right. But they should zip it more and not do ride alongs to help close business. They should do ride alongs to help strengthen a sales rep that mm-hmm. they can close more business. And if you lose, I mean, no one wants to lose a deal. That's what makes ride along so hard. Is the sales manager comes in there and rescues the day, you know? And I'm okay with losing things to gain in the long run. My owners don't like to hear that, but the results are proven to be okay on that.
Yeah, and
one other thing on the ride along, and that was before the call, getting more specifics, and then after the call. So being fresh to the moment, if you're not going to be on a ride along for debrief. Now, a couple of the technology things. You can come into the meeting now. Everyone's out of Zoom. Fine, bring your tablet in. Bring me in the meeting. I could be sitting there listening to the sales call as a person. So sales leaders, you can be in the call. Just come in on the tablet. You could be on, if you don't have a tablet, be on the phone call. Just be included on the phone meeting. But do a lot of listening. It's really okay. That technology has been around. The phone is just fine to see how the conversation goes. So it's not that difficult to get involved if you want to.
Right. So it seems to me like a very common thread for managing virtually effectively is just putting the responsibility in the rep's hand, not kind of less handholding, more trust. And you can kind of be there in the background to listen and offer advice and offer support, but you almost need to just accept that you're going to support less frequently or to a lesser degree. And right. And in some ways it's like the teaching a man to fish versus giving him a fish thing. You can save the call on a call. You can answer a Slack in 2 seconds. You can answer a question if you're tapped on the shoulder, but maybe if you let your reps fail and then kind of help them understand what the underlying issue was or help them kind of rectify it after the fact,
right.
then maybe they won't even run into that issue again.
Sure, because the reality is we are going to fail a lot. So what? One question came to my mind. I'd ask me, and if I was interviewing me, is okay. So if you're not doing all this other stuff, what are you doing? Yeah. You know, what can you do as a leader to support your reps? And that is making sure your processes are very documented and tight, so you can scale your department. Okay, mm-hmm. rather than just tribal knowledge. So if you have an experienced group, 5 or 6 people that've been around, processes can be a little more loose. Results are happening. Tighten it up so when you hire the next person in, they can ramp up fast and mm-hmm. they don't need to learn it the hard way. Expectations, always clear on everything from a new product to pricing to how we communicate, all these things. Be clear on expectation. Over communicate. I'm always managing expectations. Mm-hmm. Sales reps tell me, it's like, I wish people would just tell me before they change something. So I'm always like making sure, hey, we're working on this as a leadership team. This might hit you on Thursday. Those little things, it takes that extra attention. But now you're managing the environment that they're working in. I'm always focused on how can I make the playing environment, their selling environment they work in, as effective as possible. I'm not trying to make it enjoyable or happy or, you know, none of that. Fine. I'm into team building, but it's like, that doesn't change the world. how problems get solved and sales get closed and the products and services get delivered means so much more to a sales rep than we went to the racetrack last quarter. Just does.
Yeah, absolutely. So now I have a bit of a cheeky question. All right. And this goes back to at the beginning of the podcast. For those of you listening, I mentioned that Renee is able to manage 5 to 7 sales teams at the same time. And if you're a sales leader out there, you know that you're managing the one and it's taking up absolutely all of your bandwidth. So Renee, you've been doing this as a service for a long time. If you cost less and you produce more, and there's so much to gain by kind of moving to a virtual sales management model, why don't you think more companies do that already?
It's a paradigm shift. It was similar to when I was telling my wife, I say this, people might not get it. Kind of like the iPhone, I think this will happen. Is it when you first saw the iPhone? When I first saw the iPhone, it's like, what the heck? Where's the buttons? Where's the menu key? It's like, you know, it just didn't make sense to me. Uh-huh. And it was bigger. Everything was getting smaller phones. So yeah, in your front pocket. This is big screen, didn't get it. As soon as I understood it, then of course the world, it is what it is today. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know that we're going to be that big, but the bottom line is that it's just, they don't understand. It doesn't make common sense to say, I can actually have more with someone being here less, you know, doing less, I can have more. Spending less, I can have more. It's just a paradigm shift. But there's a reason. I'm going to go shift off of the corporate guys right now and just talk to small business owners. There's a reason that small business owners can't attract talent like ours that we have, or other good leaders that have the corporate leadership experience, and they're very skilled in their craft, but they won't work at a small business full time because there is not a full time job there for them. Mm. And there's just not enough to do. So they end up getting dumped other work from other departments, doing work for the owner. And it's not what they signed up for. They signed up to be a sales leader, you know, be effective at that. And so I would never work at any of my one clients full time because they would start not liking me because I'd look lazy on them. And even if they paid me, it just wouldn't work. I wouldn't be challenged enough. So corporate managers, I would just seek the better you get at effective management. Just keep figuring out how to help your salespeople sell more. Go take down another hurdle. Force your product and service development teams. Challenge those guys. Tell them, give me more products. Push on them. Push upline to bring more resources to your team that they can sell more. Go get some more budget for more tools. Do that work and let the salespeople sell.
Got it. So Renee, you've also written the book that we mentioned, Part-Time Sales Management. So that was written originally for small business owners who lead the sales teams, but are maybe know-how or time challenged. Mm-hmm. And your kind of approach and system in this book is to help a business owner lead and grow the sales team in just 10 to 20 hours a month.
Right.
Can you share with us a bunch of key elements from the book that will help owners or first-time virtual sales managers alike manage more effectively?
Sure. Yeah. If you're not driving and you want to write something down, I'd write down belief, expectations, accountable environment, meetings, and conversations. Those are the five areas that we focus on. So we got to make sure our belief's in line. If we're not, like I said earlier, if you're not believing in someone, deal with it, deal with your head or deal with the person and get it back in line. So no energy wasted there, making assumptions, wondering if, blah, 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 out. And then expectations, very clear on what's expected of us as a sales leader and the sales department. What do we need to deliver to the company? And if you're not clear on that, get someone in a room and make them be clear on it. Don't let them be ambiguous. Okay. So that's clarity to me. And then setting expectations down. So those salespeople know what our department's expected and what individually they're expected, all the way down to as micro as you want to go. It's up to you and your team and your type of selling to how detailed you want to go on each expectation of activity. Accountability. I spoke about an environment. An accountable environment, my book is people that hold themselves accountable. And that's why on that one-on-one, they come prepared with their report to tell me what's working and not working. I don't need to tell them that they need to be learning to be accountable to their own work. And I think this is a key thing, is allowing people to to be capable. And then the meetings, the cadence, you got to have meetings regularly. Don't cancel them. You know, if you reschedule because of a conflict, great. But it's important to keep that cadence, because there's problems getting solved at those meetings also. And that's when you'll have less fire drills during the week of people saying, I need this, I need that. If they have a weekly meeting, it's a place they can bring that to. And you could always say, hey, why don't you put it on the agenda? And we'll talk about that Monday, instead of having to change your day. And the last one is conversations. Conversations demonstrate that you care about someone. If you take the time to genuinely listen to what they have to say, they will bug you less, they will exaggerate less, and there won't be so much fire drills, because they know that you really listen and that you converse back and you reply back and solve. So those are the five elements.
Great, great tips. Sales leaders out there, pause the episode, give it a 1 minute rewind, play it back if you didn't get a chance to write it down that first time. I think, yeah, those are incredible tips. Thank you so much, Renee. It's amazing to have somebody with the experience of always managing virtually kind of come in and give us those tips, because there are so many sales leaders out there right now that are managing virtually for the first time. So I really think that, yeah, this has been incredibly valuable for those listeners of ours feeling that right now.
Fantastic.
So if you guys want to pick up a copy of Part-Time Sales Management, the book that we chatted about, we're going to include a link so that you can find it on Amazon. And Renee, if people want to chat to you more or they want to learn more from you, how can they get in touch with you?
Just head over to my website at salesmanagernow.com. And, you know, there's plenty of blogs and resources there as well, if you want to pick up some other information. And anyone that's looking at a possible our service, there's a short video up front that'll give you a quick short synopsis, and then a longer one that gives you more details on how we approach things.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the episode. This has been, yeah, a really interesting episode, Predictable Revenue Podcast, of how to manage a small sales team virtually with my amazing guest, Renee Zamora. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you. And let's go predict our revenue more accurately, shall we?
Let's do it. Okay. And thanks everyone for watching. Bye-bye.
All right. Shout out to Predictable Revenues, Service LinkedIn Outbound Service for sponsoring this video. As a founder and sales leader myself, I know most of the best practices in terms of like what I need to be doing on LinkedIn. But sometimes I just don't have the time. You know what the right things to do are, but it just comes down to a trade-off of where's my time better spent? And can I find somebody to click around on LinkedIn for me and book meetings? You know, and then I can focus on higher level activities. And so think about it. What's the best use of your time? If you're a founder, sales leader, and you have a team, you need some meetings, I'd encourage you to check it out. I'm using it myself. I'm obviously the founder, so I'm eating our own dog food. But if you're curious, click the link below to learn more.